Hi, I'm Carla Coffey, your coach and fitness influencer of the Over the Next Hill podcast. Welcome to the show. This podcast is sponsored by Coffee Crew Coaching. Today, we are blessed to have Melissa back with us again. Melissa is a friend of mine. She's also one of my clients, and we're just really good buds. And so today, we are going to be talking about recovery mostly. Welcome to the show, Melissa.
Hi, Carla. My favorite topic, recovery.
Mine too. I like to do more recovery than working out sometimes.
Me too.
So this week, I actually had you on a recovery week, and I also wanted to bring up how I do post in your workouts a warm up and a cool down, which really can influence your recovery. So for warm ups, I have you doing leg swings and air squats. You could also do some walking lunges. Now, when you go to swim class, you probably do a warm up swim too, don't you? Just to kind of limber up your arms.
What I do, I should be, what I do is I get out to the pool grudgingly. I move my arms just a little bit, enough to make it look like I'm doing something cool. I stick my toe in, and then I go, oh, why am I doing this? And I just jump right in, and I go as fast as I can till I can get warmed up. So I need some advice today on that.
Well, I have gone to swim classes where the coach had you do push-ups on the deck. I was very surprised by that because I get it, but I was shocked by that. And then a lot of people do like arm circles, because you're primarily using your arms, especially as a triathlete. You don't use your legs as much because you have biking and running to do later. So yeah, I would recommend for your swims to do some kind of arm circles, and if you're feeling frisky and want to get the push-ups in, then by all means. But the same thing for the bike, you need to do a warm-up mile. I mean, a little bit of pedaling in easy gear, a little bit of coasting, a little bit of pedaling, just to kind of get warmed up. And ideally, you're going to do a warm-up that mocks the activity you're going to be doing, right? So I also have you doing single leg hops. It's like jump roping, right? But you don't have to have a rope and you don't have to trip over the rope, right? You're just jumping, because running is really just single leg hops. So that's why I have you warm up with single leg hops. I do those as well, just to go, what's today going to feel like? And you can feel right away, is this going to be a good run or a bad run? Can't you?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. I.
It gets you moving, and if you're running outside, I think that your hops are helping me so that I can avoid things or get off the road quick when a car is coming by or something. It gets you ready to do that, not just in the habit of going forward and on a flat road. You get you moving your legs.
Yeah, because I have you making that X or that plus sign. Yeah, kind of get you going in some different planes there. Great. You also could do jumping jacks even before your swim, because that would at least get your arms going. You could do some jumping
Yeah, that
jacks,
does make sense.
but just don't slip and fall on the wet pool deck. You could do just the arms and not the
Just the
legs.
arms.
Yeah.
That would be good.
And then for cool down, especially at the end of your run, or even the end of your bike, the end of your swim, just slow it all down, right? Walk home. I typically, especially if I'm coming home up the hill, a lot of times I'll walk up our, because we're on a little bit of a hill, I'll walk that last few houses up to kind of start the recovery process. And don't just go in and sit, right? You want to walk around a little bit, let that heart rate come down with your bike. You come flying home and rush right into the garage and then sit down. You want to bring your heart rate down. So the warm up and cool down really do start the recovery process. So you really.
And I think that too. Like when you get off the bike, like you were saying, you're biking so hard and you're trying to get to the, let's say, a brick workout and you got to get to your run, you feel it. So you'll see like you're starting to run slower in the beginning until you get your running legs going. But yeah.
For those of you who don't know, a brick workout is when you do two modes of exercise back to back. So if she were to go swimming and then change quick and go into biking or running, that's a brick. When she does a bike and then goes right into the running, that's a brick workout. So speaking to those of you who are at home right now, how about getting up and taking a little walk while you're listening? Get some exercise in. You've been sitting for a good 10 minutes already, so if you're sitting, get up and move around. Okay. So let's talk about recovery. So you have your cool down starts your recovery, right? So right after a run, we want to get into some mobility work right away. You know, a little bit of rolling on that foam roller that we love to hate, some stretching, right? Some static stretching. And you don't have to do it forever. You know, 5 or 10 minutes can really make a difference in how you're going to feel for your next workout. So after swim, you might want to, you know, stretch your deltoids, you know, do reach behind and stretch your arms to kind of limber those arms back up because they worked hard and you'll feel it. So you want to.
Do you recommend rolling before getting in like compression boots, or like do the compression boots 'cause and then do rolling, or is there a certain way that you should do?
I would probably roll first and then
Okay. Yeah.
relax in the compression boots. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. And you also can foam roll and use racquetballs and whatever on your arms. Just
Right.
up against a wall. I do that a lot. I have a little shoulder impingement and I will roll my shoulders against the wall, put the ball, you know, up against the wall and roll. And you can do that with a foam roller, roll up and down your arms. So really make good use of that foam roller on everything. And even after your bike, biking isn't as, or swimming, as traumatic on your body as running is.
Yeah,
But you
okay.
still do need to warm
Yes.
up, cool down, foam roll for all of the things, just to start that
Yeah.
recovery process. Okay.
Do you recommend like I know after swimming sometimes I have arm aches, or after biking I definitely have saddle aches. Do you recommend icy hot or ice or heat, or what kind of mixture do you recommend after we get to that point where we've stretched out and trying to calm our muscles down?
Well, the new discovery is that icing isn't that great. Unfortunately, because that's what we've always done, right? And even for my 100-miler, I went and stood in the ice water to
That's horrible. For me,
it was
was. I hate cold.
yeah, it was bad.
These buckets of ice, and just putting your leg in there, it just is miserable. But I mean, I wasn't sure if that was beneficial or not.
Well, and so there's those two schools of thought. So the one is it reduces inflammation. But inflammation is what helps you heal because it helps bring the blood to the muscle. So, yeah, you know, we do it, I think, more for comfort. If it feels good, that's what we do. And that's kind of the same thing with the hot, right? Getting in the hot tub. You do it for soothing, you know? So it's kind of. You know, again, I forgot to mention my disclaimer. I am not a doctor and I don't pretend to be one on a podcast. So you kind of have to do what's making you feel good, right?
Okay.
And if it feels good to have it, you know, have cold on it. I wouldn't do ice, but I would do ice water, stick my foot in ice water or something like that,
Okay.
to kind of relieve the pain. I'm all about a hot tub just because they feel so good. I don't know if I honestly don't know if they're good for you, but I love them. But yeah, so you kind of, you know, you have to do what feels good, but then get actual professional help if it lingers because I can only give you what I've studied. Okay, so there's that.
You had mentioned to me the other day about something that was painful to me in my first experience, but you often do it. It's massages, and you do recommend massages and deep massages, right? And I was wondering, is there a type of massage that you always get done? Is it the legs? Is it the back? Is it arms? What do you mostly go for when you get a massage?
Well, what I really would like is a nice massage with candles and that person. But the ART masseuse that I see, he does chiropractic and he does cupping and needling and the active recovery technique massage is not pleasant. There are no candles. The only burning,
No dinner.
no dinner. Oh my goodness. But I've been seeing him for probably at least 5 years now, maybe 7, since he opened, and it's a very intense, focused massage. They've really kept me moving, to be honest. If I have any injuries come up, I always follow whatever direction they give me. And the other day, I did come home with little cupping marks on my shoulder from shoveling and on my leg, So they are really good at that. I've had some dry needling done there. They have a laser treatment. But yeah, mostly they focus on my legs. But I haven't had an injury, knock on wood, in quite a while because of my own attacking of the foam roller in my recoveries. And I'm very diligent going there. I have like a standing appointment every 2 weeks, and I just go and they work me over and they do their chiropractic stuff on me. But lately they've mostly been focusing on my arm and my neck because I'm just old and legs are great. It's the rest of me that's falling apart.
When a time comes up, do you start to feel the aches and pains, and that you feel like it's about time? No,
Okay, so we've done the day, we've done the week, the month. So let's talk about season. So a lot of people will take off the winter, especially those of us that live in the north area where you get all that stinking snow. They'll take that off from running.
Okay.
And they'll bike, but it won't be heavy training. They'll usually during that season do more weightlifting.
Oh, my favorite.
I
I'm shaking my head. No, it's
know.
not.
So, Carol, who was on one of the previous podcasts, oh, she just would butt heads with me about her weightlifting. She's just like, everybody just hate, not everybody, but most people just hate the weightlifting. And actually, one of the questions that we have for today from off of the Facebook page is asking about why runners need to weightlift. So I can't wait to answer that. But it doesn't hurt to take off. I've never taken a season off from running only because I really enjoy running, right? I mean, I've taken time off from biking because that's not my favorite thing to do. But I really enjoy running. I especially like running outdoors. I just need that sunshine. Even if it's a kind of a cloudy day, I just need that sunshine, that fresh air. I just have to get out the door. So I don't typically take a season off, right? But a lot of people will. They'll take 3 months off in the winter and not run and only do weightlifting. Some will do like snowshoeing or cross-country skiing, things for the cardio, right? Because you still want to get the cardio in, but they won't do that pounding of the running. And that's, to each his own, to whatever makes people feel good. That's what you want to do. So your recovery always starts, though, that day after that activity. Okay, whether you are a football player, you're playing high school sports, or you're doing tennis, or now big pickleball is the big thing, right? People playing pickleball, you still should recover. If you're playing, for a half hour, an hour, even if it's just doing some mobility work, right? Doing some kind of stretching, foam rolling, whatever. and drinking an ice cold glass of water. Sprinkle salt in there, right? So you can get a little bit of salt in there for all the sweating that you're gonna do. It starts there. It starts every single day after every single workout. And it doesn't have to be long. The foam rolling doesn't have to be forever. Doesn't have to be your career, half an hour each time. 5 minutes, stay on the sticky points, roll them out. Just every single day, there should be some kind of mobility work. And we're friends on Garmin Connect. And typically you'll see, like today, I didn't record my recovery work just because I incorporated it while I was doing other things in the house, the laundry and whatever, right? Because I was trying to get to this call. But it's there. Even if it's just 10 minutes, it's always there now. It didn't used to be. I'm really making a big effort with my mobility this year because I'm simply not getting any younger. That's just the facts
It's
of it
hard to
all.
do, right?
Yeah, it's so hard. So I really need to stay mobile. I need to keep my joints going. Yeah.
No, this has been, I've learned so far. I've learned don't crack open a beer after a long run. That's not gonna help me. That's what I like to do to celebrate my recovery.
Right. And that's all good after you do the actual recovery portion.
Yeah, that's true. That,
Yeah.
yeah, point. Perspective right there.
Right.
Get
Yeah.
in the hot tub and then, yeah.
Yeah. Don't
Right.
deny yourself of those guilty pleasures, but definitely get the other stuff in first. Get that recovery in.
True.
Yeah. Now, do you have any other questions? Otherwise, we can go to, the coach's corner.
No, I think that you covered all of my questions I had today in recovery, and it's been a very learning experience for me.
Okay. Well, we're going to start with Anne. Anne asked, what are my hours? And so that's basically 24 hours a day because I can do
Exactly.
virtual. But then she also asked, what's the best way to start training? I would always suggest to just start with some kind of movement, whether it's walking. That's usually the easiest one is just get out and walk and start small. 15 minutes, right? Once 15 minutes, you can do 15 minutes 5 days a week, move it to 20. The goal now, what they're saying, is 150 minutes a week. So basically, that's 30 minutes 5 days a week, right? So if you start with walking, and then if you wanted to take it up to running, you could. You don't, obviously, you don't have to, but even after those walks, I would incorporate some mobility like stretching. I don't know that you would need foam rolling, but you might. Yeah, I don't know, everybody, but I would suggest starting with walking. And as we age, we lose muscle mass starting at about the age of 35, which is,
Wow.
yeah. So at
That's
35,
cool.
you start really losing muscle mass. So that's one of the reasons I keep encouraging to lift weights, because that's what moves our bones are our muscles, right? And if we want to stay mobile through our 80s, 90s, whatever, for me, 60s, we need the muscles. So we really need to keep that. Keep lifting weights. Uh-oh. I need to live closer. Right. So let's we have two questions left, and they're both from you. So the one you're asking, with the warmer weather, now with the weather warming up, what do you suggest as appropriate layering of clothes? So to stay warm but not have too much on.
Yes, I ran into this the other day in my run. I got all excited, the sun's out, and then I step outside and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's cold. And I'm like, I'm just gonna go for it. And I went for it. Probably shouldn't have. I should have went back in and dressed a little warmer, but I thought I'm in for it. I'm going, and you might have seen my first mile. I didn't stop, and I probably got the fastest mile I've gotten. I was trying to get warmed up, and I didn't really warm up. I kind of sweated and got cold, and I thought, oh, I'm not gonna do that again. So I need your advice on not to get too excited about that sunshine and to slow it down.
Yeah. I always check my weather app to see what the wind is, 'cause that's
Oh, yeah.
huge. All right. So
Yep.
that's the first thing. So that if you need a windbreaker layer, right? So typically what I do is if I can keep my core warm, that's half the battle. So vest, if you don't have, I have a light and a heavy vest, right? So when we had below zero temps, I wore my heavy vest. And it's not even
Here
a
you go.
running vest, it's just a heavy vest. But
Okay.
it's windproof and it's warm. But that way your arms aren't, where you can't move your arms, right? So you don't want to put too many layers on that way, but always a vest is always a good investment. And then I wear my windbreaker, it's like a rain coat windbreaker, underneath my warmer jacket
Okay.
that I have. So light layers are the best. And if you're going to do a loop where you can drop it something back off at home, that works, right? But stuff that can zip. And then
Yeah.
as the weather even gets warmer, I wear stuff that I can take off and tie around my waist if I'm going further than the house, around the house. But the rule of thumb is, so for instance, today, I think it was 24, and
Burr.
you want to add 20 degrees to that. So 44. So you want to
Oh.
kind of dress as if it were 44 degrees because you're going to warm up that much.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right? So
Okay.
that being said, that's kind of the same when it's super hot,
Oh,
right?
that's
So
bad.
you don't
Yeah.
wear too many clothes then either, right?
Yeah.
But always take into consideration the wind, and if you're going to
Okay.
run into any precipitation, right? You want to have a way to
Oh.
keep your core dry. Yeah, that's key. But I always will wear gloves and ear coverings, usually a hat, but sometimes just, like a headband, just to keep those things warm too. And you can slip those off. Sometimes I'll just hold on to my gloves after I get warmed up, and that's just enough to keep my hands warm, but
Yep,
also let
yep.
some of the heat out too. And then I unzip and zip. If I'm running into the wind, I zip up the jacket. If I'm running not, then I unzip. So just so you can do those layers. I only
Okay.
wear usually one shirt. But I wear things that can zip and unzip so I can let air
Okay.
in and out. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
Rather than
oh, it
putting
does.
on lots of shirts that I have no re way to get any relief, right? Unless I stop and take
Yeah.
one off. I wear stuff that I can zip and unzip for that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions on that?
No, that's a good point.
Okay. The other thing with in the winter is staying hydrated while we're running. We don't think we sweat that much, but you still need to drink even just water. It doesn't have to be electrolytes or anything, but just carry, I even if I'm doing just a short run, I carry just a small little 5 ounce bottle in my pocket, so that I have something if I should get a little thirsty, right? And I usually try to drink it by the time I get home. I mean, it's just 5 ounces. Usually I'll
Yeah.
take a couple sips here and there just to keep a little bit hydrated while you're out. And the weather in the winter is very dry too, so sometimes it's just enough
Yeah.
to wet your mouth.
Right.
Yeah, so make sure you stay hydrated. All right, and your last question is running safety. When running on
Oh.
roads that still have ice and hazards of falling. Funny you should say that because I fell last week. Today I wore my Yak Tracks. Right, because we got about 5 inches of snow yesterday, and most of it's plowed, but it's icy underneath because it rained first.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it was pretty icy. So I wore my Yak Tracks today, and it's huge. But on the parts that were dry, it's click, 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 click. So they
Oh
make a
yeah.
lot of
Yeah.
noise, and as light as they are, it still will slow you down. So if you only have an hour to run, you need to make sure, and why this run all only ever takes me an hour. Well, it's probably going to take you a little bit longer, so you're not going to get to go as far, right? Because
Yes.
they slow you down just a little bit,
Okay.
and
Okay.
if you have a big ego and numbers hurt your head, put your watch in your pocket because you just can't run as fast with these things on. Or in the conditions too. So go on a little bit slower. But last
You
week,
change.
Huh?
You change your stride too, right? Because
Yeah.
you're probably worried about slipping and sliding, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, mine's shortened up quite a bit unless I'm really doing speed work, then mine's pretty short. Short and quick. I have a short little quick cadence. But last week I ran and everything was basically dry. And so I didn't have my yak tracks on, and I went up through, we have a portion near me that has the Ice Age Trail and it's paved, and there was some, yeah, and I
Oh
was
my
fine.
gosh.
Yeah, I texted the picture to my husband and let him know this is my current status, but I'm fine and I'm gonna run home. So if I don't make it, send out a search crew.
Send help.
Send help. But yeah, so yeah, you have to be careful when the weather's changing like it is, because we have these melts and
Yes.
freezes
Yep.
all night, and that black ice just sneaks right up on you.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't practical that day to wear yak tracks,
Right.
just because everything was clear, right? So you just have to. I usually look out the door, and sometimes I ask my friends, is it, because they may be gone out before me, because I don't usually get out until around noon or 1 o'clock, and I usually ask an opinion. Is it yak track day? So that I know if I'm wearing my yaks. But yeah, so that would be the bigger thing. And if just with the running safety, other than the slipping and falling, is watching for
Yeah.
cars.
Yeah.
Because they may not be able to stop, especially
No.
if you fall, right?
Yes.
And they may
Yeah.
not have seen you fall. So always, just really be careful with that ice, because if the cars can't stop, and I never assume that they can or that they will, even at a stop sign.
Right.
I never
Right.
do. I just always assume, only because last year I did get hit at a car by a car that should have seen me from where I was, and they didn't stop at the stop sign. I was in the middle of the road. I clearly had the right of way. I was there before they even got to the stop sign. And thankfully, I know how to ride a hood, though. I jumped up on the hood and rode the hood for a second.
Oh my
I
gosh.
landed back on my feet, turned around, and gave them the whatever eye,
Is it
the eye, and took off running again. So that's
Yeah.
all those jumps I'm having you do. See, those might come in handy.
It's practice for
It's
real life situations.
practice.
I'm ready.
Practice jumping all the way of cars.
Oh my gosh, that's great. No, this is good. I was always wondering, like, what do people do? I mean, I'm a treadmill person. It gets cold out and the temperature's below my age. I'm not going outside. I stick to the treadmill, but those people are out there and they're running, and it makes me nervous because the ice is everywhere, and I walk into my car, I fall, and so I don't know how you guys can run and do it.
Yeah, there are some days I wished my treadmill were working, and usually those days I will bike instead on the trainer.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, when it's real bad, I got nothing to prove to anybody. I'm gonna bike instead. I just need to get some aerobic work in, right? So
Right.
yeah, so treadmill is always a good option if you have one available. And for me, I get on the bike and ride on the trainer, which is where I get to have more snacks because it's not running.
Yes.
I get to have my little table with all my snacks and my coffee, and
I'm all about that.
I kind of like I, that is the one reason I do like the biking on the trainer, is because I get more snacks
Get
and more
all the
coffee.
snacks. You don't feel guilty about it because you're biking.
Right.
Bring it on.
Exactly. Earlier you asked me a question before we got on the podcast about one of your friends. You said that she doesn't take a recovery day?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, I have a friend who does better. She actually is a top-notch triathlete. She participates in, I don't know what, there's a national triathlon that happens. I don't know if it was in Wisconsin or whatever. She doesn't take recovery days, and she actually does really well. I mean, I'm not top, I'm the back of the pack, and I'm just learning this stuff and just trying to make myself better. But I feel better when I take more rest days leading up to my race. But she keeps going every day. She's doing something, and And it doesn't seem like it's not always long stuff, but she's always doing a bike or run or swim or strength. So yeah. And I should note, like we talked about, she's also younger than me, probably by 10 or more years younger than me. So I mean, she's probably got the more energy than I do right now. But yeah, it's quite remarkable how two people doing the same sport can have different paths.
Yeah, and that's what made me think of it is when we were talking about age, is that's huge. So in
Right.
10 years, she'll probably be taking those recovery days, right? But yeah, and each person's journey is different. There are a lot of people that do run streaks, and they'll run even just a mile, but every day for like a year, you know? And I could do that for walking, right? If that was included in it, because there are some days that I'll walk and I won't run. I'll just go for a walk. But yeah, I need my rest day. I need to just have a day where I can just not even have to think about doing anything, you know? Because it isn't like I'm doing nothing. There's still vacuuming and floor mopping and
Oh,
laundry
yes.
and, you know, what all
Yes.
that crazy stuff, mowing the lawn and shoveling snow, you know? So it isn't like I'm just
Yeah.
sitting for a full day, but yeah, sometimes that structured activity just needs to not be there. Just even
Exactly.
mentally, you know, for that, just to look at it and go, oh, I don't have to think about doing anything today. Just my
Yep.
normal stuff I'm doing. So
Yeah, right, which is enough.
So in 10
Balance.
years, we'll recap on this podcast and see how she's doing. See if she's taking recovery days yet. Yeah, I told
Oh my
you.
gosh.
So any other questions, comments, concerns about warm-ups, cool-downs, recoveries that you can think of?
Not yet. I think as my training goes on, I will come up with some more as I go thinking of things. I mean, I've learned a lot today, and I plan to try to work on a little thing at a time.
That's all we can do. Work on the small things one day at a time. All right. Well, let's wrap this up then. Thank you so much for being on the show again today, Melissa.
Thank you for having me. Yep.
Absolutely. For those of you listening, you can look in the show notes and find all the places to follow me on Instagram and Facebook, and of course at coffeecrewcoaching.com, and I can be your trainer as well. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.